Welcome to Grit and Gravitas with Ann and Annie, bringing you savvy, spirited stories of success. We're excited to deliver 30 minutes of inspiration, impact, and goodness. We'll be bringing you guests and friends from around the country who have very special work and personal journeys. I'm Ann Dieter Gallagher, your co-host with Annie Carnathan, and this is Grit and Gravitas. Let's go! Annie Carnathan, big day in the podcast studio. Tracy Jones, thank you for coming in. We clearly don't have enough episodes to cover all the high gear, badass women's club women that we want to have in the studio.
Not remotely.
And I apologize for, you know, the harsh language. But it would be a hashtag for us. So we are heading into Easter week. Thank you for coming to the studio. Tracy Jones, you are a force to be reckoned with. I have long admired you, your father. You have such a legacy, and you're in a legacy business. And, you work with books and language and speaking and communicating and all near and dear to my heart.
And dogs.
But, well, that's true. And dogs. Yes, very much dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But you have such a phenomenal business for anyone, and largely our audience, are younger people that aspire to leadership or aspire to start a new business. And I often say that our episodes, the last 73 or so, are really short executive education courses that
beautiful.
Younger people, you know, say you're in your 30s or even you're a mid-career, and this passion project is going to turn into a business. You could click on any number of our episodes and already shorten your learning curve. Mm-hmm. And so you are a bundle of knowledge. You're so engaging, so lovely, and the military angle. So I'm going to stop talking. Tracy Jones, give
you
us...
You have 28 more minutes. I
love to be in control. I love to talk. But give us a little background because I'm always so impressed by you.
Oh, thank you, Anne and Annie. Just what a joy to be connected. I love that you said that this is really executive education for the emerging entrepreneur.
Yes,
I think
yes.
In each of us is an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And I know we're going to talk about what we would tell our younger self, but I would just like to encourage all the listeners because I think growing up, I grew up under Charlie Tremendous Jones, who was a world-class,
a
motivator.
Yes.
And for those of you that don't know him, he was a motivational speaker and author, was at the top of the life insurance industry, and then left and went off on his own. And he published a book called Life is Tremendous back in 1967, and it has never gone out of print.
Wow.
So he was a big hugger. He would yell at you if you were a thumb sucker. So we had this fabulous slap you and hug you,
yeah.
18 inches carrot from
stick,
a pat on the
right?
back and a kick in the rear. And he had this beautiful, he would make men cry and they're like, thank you, I needed that kind of thing. So don't we all need that? We need that hand of justice and then we need that big old hug.
Yes.
But yeah, so I grew up with him. As a child on the Carlisle Pike, right down the Camp Hill.
And like one of five or six?
Six. Six of us. I was number five.
Your mother
five.
Is the sweetest. She was so graceful and
so beautiful.
Lovely.
She was.
Yes, lovely.
Well, I always look at them like Ron and Nancy Reagan.
Yes.
He was the
yes.
tall, personable, folksy. And
handsome.
She was handsome, the beautiful petite little bird. And I was always like, because I favor dad, I'm like, how did you ever have me, you tiny little bird? But growing up with them, I got exposed to sitting under the tutelage of people like Zig Ziglar,
yep.
Og Mandino, Jim Rohn,
for you sales executives, you know all those names.
Bibles.
Exactly.
Yeah. Every last one of them, Bibles.
Exactly. So there's a school of thought, implicit leadership theory. So starting at about 4 years of age, you start imprinting, like we're little
wow.
books, on who is your ideal leader. So that's why it's so important
awesome.
With young people.
Okay, wait,
really
business
young
vitamin.
People. Yeah.
Imprint, what did you call it, executive?
Imprinting on leaders that do it for you. So when we let the younger generation get exposed to things they shouldn't, you got to be very careful
right.
because they'll imprint
that,
on that.
Yes, exactly.
That's why people that grow up with abuse have trouble breaking that
trauma.
Because right or wrong, trauma is what gets imprinted
it's their
on there.
Blueprint.
Wounds. Exactly.
It's linear.
It's
right.
linear, right. So it's the mother
in,
wound, the
in.
Father wound. Exactly. So, but I was imprinted with fabulous men and women, well-dressed, mm-hmm. ethical, theologically sound, hard workers, came from nothing.
Moral values.
Moral values, value congruence, but helping others achieve the greatest thing in life, and that this life is just a small part of the bigger piece of eternity. So this is what I grew up with.
Wow.
So of course, I'm looking at all these business people. So what did I do? I went into bureaucracy after bureaucracy after bureaucracy. And first of all, the military, I would recommend to anybody. Do a stint in the military.
So were you Air Force Academy?
Air Force Academy. I went to Air Force. Husband was Naval. So how I got into the military was, Charles, I'm a middle child. So we're like, whatever. You know, people are like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm like, I'm a middle child. Whatever. It's all good. And Cumberland Valley graduate. Whoop, whoop. And so,
yes.
You know, dad came back and I went to Word of Life Bible Institute for a year because he said to me, just take 1 year.
Yeah.
And get grounded before you go out in the world. And the world is good. And this is back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Back, he goes, you're going to go out in the world and they're going to shred everything that you've come to believe. So know what you believe and why you believe it.
Well, that's a good message for anyone.
Right.
Yeah, that's as pertinent and valuable today. To know what you believe and understand, sit in that and understand
plant your flag.
Yep.
Right. And why.
And what I hear in that, though, Tracy, is that he didn't equivocate that you're female.
Oh, right? No.
Didn't have an ounce of differentiation.
No.
Make excuses for you, say, oh, you know.
As a woman, you're going to get clipped up.
100%.
No, as a matter of fact, it was as gender blind an upbringing as it could have been.
Yeah.
He took me, I was a little girl that followed him. You know, there's always the one. Dave Ramsey talks about his daughter. There's always the one. I was the one. I look like him. I got him. And I say to parents with multiple kids out there, not everybody's going, your parenting style, just like implicit leadership theory,
right?
You're going to resonate with some of your children, and some of them you're going to have to adopt a different style. I love the in-your-face tough love. Not all my siblings were so keen on that.
Yeah.
Some were more sensitive, like my mother, so you had to lead with more grace. But I ate up everything he put out, the spiritual meddling, the nonsense. But he would take me to meetings. And a little girl, like 4 years old, 5 years old, all men, back in the day, like Mad Men era, all men, all men, all men. And I'd just be sitting there. He's like, this is my daughter. She's sitting here. I can remember we were at he did a meeting in Vegas, and it was like the Playboy Club or whatever. You know, that's back where people had meetings and stuff.
Yes.
And I was just kind of sitting there, you know, I remember just sitting there. She's here because she's learning. And so I never really got anything other than,
You
didn't get doors closed. And I looked at men. Yeah, there's idiot men. Guess what? There's idiot women, too.
Right. Right.
So for every dumb man I ran into, there's 1,000 that supported me.
Great.
So I really grew up with that. Well, as a woman, didn't you? Yeah, there was bad things. But there's bad things that happen to everybody, regardless of gender, nationality,
prepared
race.
You for the Academy.
And here's the thing. If somebody you really admire and love and respect and all those attributes, if he doesn't make excuses for you, guess what you're not gonna do?
Absolutely.
Make excuses for yourself. And that's what you're leading with. Unequivocally.
So I saw him that. Why should I be ashamed? Why should I? And remember, all these emotions that we feel as women, whether it's inferiority, imposter syndrome, that's self-imposed.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, and granted, yes, there's a reality of sometimes I would have people say, I get more the you're too faith-based. Okay. That's fine. This is who I am. I'm entitled.
Exactly. That's why you have you and I have me.
Exactly.
They aren't making any more of me.
Exactly. So just know where you stand. So it was really good. The other thing was he just taught me to really look people in the eye and be gracious. I think sometimes as women, we come in and we're anticipating somebody to be hostile. And I know with men, that's why I love working with men. I went in the military, high tech, defense.
Right.
And now the past 15 years, it's been primarily women. So it's been fabulous. You know, get to the core, people.
You're a great message bearer.
Is she my clone? I'm just wondering about that. I mean,
I love that.
Holy smokes. Because it's tougher to be a woman like that. When you have this style that you're describing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not that nurturing and that, you know, when we get questions, women go, we haven't made any progress at all, and blah, blah, blah. Like, look, don't hate the player, hate the game. It's the game.
Right.
You don't get to say for a man or for a woman or whatever. If you're going to get up and play in it, play in it.
Absolutely.
It's
2024. You stop. I have lived all over the world. I know exactly what the playing field is
for
women in other countries. You want to complain about it here? Let me take you some other places. Yes. Stop it.
And can't you just leave if it's that bad? Well, right? It's a free country. It's a free world for the most part. Go ahead. Right. Go out.
Yeah. Well, and I've left many jobs. Why? Because right. I felt marginalized or undervalued. Yeah. That's your choice. Not everybody's going to see your greatness. So then move on.
You're right. Not a victim. You're not right. sitting here waiting for the world to happen to you. You don't care if everyone likes you. What a losing proposition.
It sure
just
is.
Just to find people that are philosophically aligned. Right. They're going to help you grow at the same time you're helping them grow. I mean, I think it's simple, but not everybody understands
that.
Well,
they don't. But it's a process. Yep. And like I said, some of us, you know, you get the whole nature nurture experience. So by nature, I pulled my father's stature, which trust right. me, at 5'10".
That's a huge benefit.
That helps huge. As a woman.
You walk into the room, man or woman.
Man or woman,
and
it helps.
The immediate first impression when you are statuesque, tall,
Amazon.
Dignified. Yeah. No, you command the room.
It does. And I never realized that because some of the other ladies shorter than me have said, and I'm like, I never realized that. And growing up, I'm like, oh, you know, slouching over. And I'm like, no, height is a beautiful thing. Direct eye contact is a beautiful thing. I go into prisons to do prison ministry. And ooh, we read books. And I'm walking through the yard.
Yeah.
All males, State Corrections Institute. And you better know and you better walk with assertion. And you know what? My mom would always go, oh, Tracy, I'm worried. I'm going to go, Mom, first of all, I've got about 6 inches and about 40 pounds on most of them. So if you're coming, you better take a good look. But I'm telling you what, when you look people in the eye and you smile and you let them know, it just, male or women, it just...
And honestly, how hard is that? That's not hard. You're
it's uncomfortable for
spirit.
Some. It's uncomfortable for some.
Well, the spirit, you said it, it's grace.
Yeah.
It's so what the world is lacking right now, in addition to love, because I think people can't love because they don't love themselves.
In addition to incivility.
Incivility.
When they're comparing themselves to people who aren't projecting a real life.
Absolutely.
So there's just all these falsehoods swarming around them, and it's difficult to know what's real.
Right. And the falsehood is, I am lesser than, or I have to bring somebody else down because I have not got what I should. And that's an absence of grace. Grace is when you realize it's gratitude. Right. How much I've been given. When I realize how much I've been given, I can then pour it out. I can look people in the eye and give them a smile. I can look at them and say, how are you doing? And that's why, and people would say about my dad, is he always like that? And I'm like, yeah, because if you are filled with gratitude and grace, if you don't let it out, you blow up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But you don't expect anything in return.
But that's trading.
You're giving it as your gift.
Right. Giving.
That's precisely.
Exactly. Giving.
And someone's
is
miserable, sad, oh boy, I feel for them, right? You have to pray for them because you're just giving it because that's the gift you're giving.
Absolutely. Annie, one of the most important things, and I just had a guy on my podcast this past week and he said this, not a fan of Karl Marx, but his one quote was something to the effect of, expectation is the root of most of our problems.
100%.
When you expect people to value you, to get the apology, to stop.
You're not the boss of them.
You're not the boss of them. But when you go into a room, I tell people, understand you are probably going to be the most emotionally mature, self-efficacious, and grounded person in the room. Therefore, it's up to you to be the adult.
Right.
Emotionally, civility, you give grace. I don't care if somebody gave you the stink eye. Yeah. I don't care if somebody dissed you in business. I don't care if somebody cut you off on the road. You are going to be, anybody listen to this podcast, I know one thing about them. They're tremendous.
Yeah.
Most of the world out there is not. And they're in desperate need of being shown a more tremendous
grace.
Way.
Yeah.
So when I realize that, I don't sit there in a room and go, I can't believe that. I can't believe I'm in a board meeting. That person just talked over me. I'm going to give them grace. I'm going to say my words. And I'm going to find a way to build that bridge and restore that relationship. Because otherwise, life is too short. You won't be at peace.
So many times it's not even you. It's that person.
It's always that person.
Projecting it. And I just have to say that you're sitting with us today and we meet and every encounter the Lord plans and is in good time. We did this podcast solely to give it. We had zero expectations. We didn't even know what we were doing. All we knew was that we can help a lot more people this way. And if people agreed to be you and spend 30 minutes with us and travel here and do like that, that was the, it was intentional.
Yes.
It had zero expectations. If somebody would have said to me this much later, we're here, I'm like, I'm as gobsmacked as everybody else because we're just sitting here sharing stories. But that's precisely it. But we did not purest, do this, but right. That's it.
That's the pure. Purest form yeah, of living. Right. You get the call. You talked about faith. You get the call. What is my purpose? Even if you're not a person of faith, everybody has a desire. You know, one of the questions is, where's my life going to count? Okay, even if you don't believe in anything, we still have this in us, okay? So you get the calling, but then the equipping comes after, okay? And so then you just let it, the right guests, mm-hmm. the right, mm-hmm. people say that to me, well, what do you want to do with this? Well, every day, this is what I control, and then
it's
in the end.
Touching someone, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to come to what it's meant to come to. But if I live every day to the fullest, I don't get too strung out, you know, coming back, well, how are you gonna fill his shoes? I'm not. There yeah. is no it's Elijah right. and Elijah.
Right,
okay?
Right.
I am going to be a completely different mantle. God's going to have me flourish in ways that weren't before, but there is no comparison right. when you get right. to callings. It's a one. God's
We're one of
to
one.
You. One of one.
One of one. And everyone else is taken.
Yes, exactly.
Now, you touched on a good point about walking into a boardroom and someone speaking over you and how you're going to process that. We've talked in past episodes about assuming positive intent. And it's always, yes. I read that was a Centric Bank 26 business principles, and it hit me, you know, like an anvil. I'm like, you know, we're so quick to respond, like, I think they meant that in a harmful way.
Or we're quick
I think
to judge, that was, just, you know, judge on our own lens, right?
And if we step back and give grace in every situation, personal, professional, it really does change our outlook. But it changes our energy and, you know, the way we're dealing with people. And then how silly do you feel when it comes around that they really did mean it in a positive way and we misinterpreted, you know, what their intention was.
I love that. Assume positive intent. One of the greatest books I ever read, because I'm a justice person. You know, people on my blog today is about this. People are either task and justice and results focused, or they're more relationship and orient personal.
Yeah.
And I think growing up, you know, right, let's be right. You know, but the whole thing is,
well, your military background.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, there's zero defect. I don't right. care how you felt today. Boeing, your panel blew exactly. off the plane. So, you know, this is not cool.
That's
person
good...
who hit the barge in Baltimore this morning.
Yes.
Something happened and there will be justice. There is yes. no mercy about, well, I got to feel sorry for him. He was right. going through a tough time.
Right.
No. So I get, but we lean towards one or the other, and I lean towards justice. So I'm like, because I can be, you know, slice and dice them yeah. any way you like them.
It's black and white. This yeah. is, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm right and you're not. And I think sometimes as women, well, we got to know what we're talking about. Yeah. But if we lose that grace, that relationship yes. aspect, we're going to come across as the you know what, the B word.
Yep.
And I don't mind being a B word to certain people because you're going to get it.
Yeah.
But I don't always need to lead with it. There's a book called Unoffendable by Brant Hanson.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It changed my
really?
World because it let me know even righteous indignation, you don't get to have, you're not God.
Right.
I can't read what's in that other person's heart or mind.
Right.
I don't know their motives. And I hear what they say, but I didn't really, how many times have you gone back to read an email and gone, oh my gosh, I just responded to that completely inappropriate. I didn't
yes.
even take time to read it because
yes.
I was so, you know, and that
you
book
got to the first two sentences and
exactly.
hit send.
You can always speak with grace.
Yeah.
Speak the truth, but soften it a bit.
Yeah.
And that book really
well,
taught me
that.
Well,
an email is always going to not reveal more than it reveals.
Right.
It's just words and letters on a page. There's no tonality. Care how many emojis or smiley faces, and it's direct, it's succinct. But I want to tell you two things, Tracy. This was within a hair of being Grit and Grace as the podcast.
Wow.
And had my boy been a girl, he would be Grace. Grace Catherine.
Oh.
And so that word in and of itself, just to say it and wash over me, is extraordinary. So I think grace is just overwhelmingly transitional.
Well, it's become more of a business skill.
Right. Like you
gift.
Start with it or you get to yeah. it. It just matters that
it's
you arrive there.
It's a business skill.
Well, the number one book in the entire universe is the Bible. The last word
greatest stories
of the
ever.
Last book of the book of Revelation is live in peace and grace. Out of all the
Amen.
Story of everything,
yeah.
the fall of man, the redemption, all the wars, all the evil, it ends with grace. And we're coming up on Easter.
Yep.
That's all it is. It's grace. Yep. Yes, there's justice, but there's also mercy and grace. Without it, what's the point? We're all just animals. Why are we even sitting here trying to help people? Right. Let's just go out and I can't even say animals because animals are let's just be evil.
I like my dogs were the most people not, and genuine.
Let's
you know,
be jackals just, and hyenas, not dogs. It's not a doggy dog world because they love each other. So yeah, it is absolutely grace. And again, I think you get to that place. And I was going to say, you know, 0 to 20, I tell people you're churning. Okay.
Right.
You know, from the moment of conception until you're 20, there's only four things. Everything, all your DNA, everything is in you. Air, water, food, and time. You, Anne, were the same moment of conception as you are right now, except for those four things.
Yeah.
That 0 to 20, you're churning, you're learning, you're going to school, your cells are growing, your limbs, your DNA, your mitochondria.
Transforming.
You're transforming. Then from 20 to 40, you're learning. You're going to school, trades, apprentice. What do I want to be? You're trying different things. You're getting experiences. 40 to 60 is you're earning. That's when you take what you've learned, what you've become, and you start, you don't think you're getting paid enough? Negotiate it. Not fair. Offer it. You got an offer letter? I think I'm worth
this. Your value.
I want to speak. Mm-hmm. Here's my fee. Yeah. Okay. Know your value. 60 to 80, and I just hit the magical 60. So I'm in the yearning. This is when I am free to serve. If I've done everything ahead of time,
I really
can pick up now. What brings me joy? Not happiness, but joy. Where does my soul feel most fulfilled? Who do I want to work with? Who do I want to speak to? Who do I not want to speak to? What boards do I want to be on? What boards do I need to come off? Okay. And then 80 to 100 is returning. You're getting ready for the next phase, the greatest phase of all, legacy planning, giving things away. I'm publishing books for people in their 90s.
That's amazing.
I get calls from more 90 about, hey, I need these books. You're returning everything that you've been giving back to your legacy. You know, Lord willing that we all live that long. And if we take care of ourselves, we should. So that's where, you know, life is kind of that full circle.
And happy is an emotion. Joy is a state of being.
Yes.
Not to be interchanged.
Right. Well, Paul says, well, we're persecuted. And Paul says, count that as a joy.
Yep.
You can't do it. I don't think the Christians were happy getting fed to the lions or lit up like Roman candles. But you got to find the joy. And the joy only comes from living for something other than yourself. Because it, like we talked about things going on out there. You can't be happy about a lot of things going on.
Right.
Okay.
Joy is the journey to
joy
me.
Joy, it is.
It's a state of being holistically.
Absolutely.
You know, are there moments that are more trying where I wouldn't go, oh, I'm happy. No. Clearly I'm not happy. But it's an overall state of being to me, to be joyous, to be servant leaders, mm-hmm. which we all are in this room exponentially. And so it all sort of accumulates
mm-hmm.
to get to
what
that.
A great refreshing outlook on that. You know, and once you embrace that and you know that, I think there's less of a burden on worrying what other people think about these decisions, especially in the 60 to 80 and the 80 to 100, you know.
Right.
Probably in the 0 to 20, that's a little consuming. Mm-hmm. And maybe in the 20, 30, 40 can be consuming too. But
well, and I think it's important for the young generations coming up too. You know, everybody, it's really strange. Everybody thinks they get to jump to the 60 to 80. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It's like in the military. You don't get to come in and become a four-star general.
Right.
You got to pay your dues,
friend.
Good analogy. You got to pay your dues.
And everything costs something.
It costs something. And you don't know enough to take the mic and speak.
Right.
So I even knew this as a second lieutenant. For the first 4 years as junior officer, you're to be seen and not heard. But I'm an officer. I got from a shut up.
Nobody cares
what you have to say. And when your time to speak,
we should all do some form of military training.
I just think it takes these sort of thin-skinned feelings and just sort of moves them to the side.
And that's what Charles would say. We are born with thin skin and a hard heart. Okay? I just watched The Case for Christ and she was praying, turn my husband's Lee Strobel heart of stone to the heart of flesh. He says, what we really need is a thick skin and a soft heart.
Right.
That's what we need.
Right. Yeah.
I would sum myself up after constant work and understanding and why and total responsibility is thick skin, big, warm, yummy, giving heart.
That's beautiful. And that is when you can live at peace.
Yeah.
And in a state of joy.
And I just think from the beginning, Tracy, there's still going to be people that are not compatible.
Right.
Or want me to give them excuses, or maybe not as sort of directed and linear, and that's tough for people.
Well, it is. And you know, again, everybody's like, well, love, love, love. Okay. But if you do love minus truth, that's hate speech.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If I tell, oh, Annie, just keep drinking. I love you. I love you regardless of how.
You don't have an issue. It's not ruining your life. Keep drinking.
That is like us with speaking. Don't we want people to tell us, hey, Anne, I know you think this, that you're all of that in a hard bag of chips, but
or that message changed the tone, changed the posture.
Otherwise, you're just you're not being authentic.
Well, that's not kind.
It's
to
not
give, to give the false.
That's true.
The false.
It's
feedback
lying.
Or impressions. Right. You're actually having the opposite effect on someone.
Right. Brene Brown said that unclear is unkind.
Ooh,
clear
good.
Is
good.
Kind.
And you're recycling mediocrity.
Absolutely.
And who wants to be mediocre or average? I'd rather fail flat on my face,
right,
and go out in a blaze of glory for that one failure. Fail fast, fail forward, and just go, I tried, and I'm going to wake up and do it again.
And we've talked on sessions, Tracy, which you'll totally agree with, is surrounding yourself with people at the highest level that tell you the truth. If you're a CEO and your VP layer or EVP layer is only surrounding your board table, giving you the tremendous, you know, encouragement and kudos, something's going on. You need someone to tell you the truth. It's like the emperor with no clothes.
You better have
somebody.
Absolutely.
And when zeros are after the first number in the salaries, that's a little challenging.
Oh, it is.
Nobody wants to.
Well, that's why we see all the failures in organizations, and people say the CEO, and I go, no. It's not the CEO. It's the board.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And everybody thinks
big
that,
responsibility.
Well, absolutely. That success is measured by a show of hands. Success is not measured by a show of hands. And there's a Kelly followership online free test that you can have everybody in your organization
Ooh.
Test to see what type of follower they are. We want critical thinkers and all in engagement. When you got yes people, the passive sheeple.
Great.
Yes.
We have too
CEO,
many business vitamins to make it in these.
But the other thing, Tracy, and I just call this out a second. I think people ask me for the truth, but then they're hurt by it. They didn't really want to hear it. They thought I would say something like that's, I'm not ever going to fully understand that.
Well, you have to also know, and I heard a sermon the other day of talking about pre-conversion work. You got a sense, because we're discerning leaders, okay? We can look into people's, and we got the Spirit helping us sense it. You got a sense if somebody's ready for it, too.
Right.
You can't
right.
just go over and hit somebody on the head with the Bible or tell them, well, you're an idiot, because they're going to be like, what did you say to me? You have to see if they're ready for it, and you have to show them, not tell them.
I struggle when they ask directly and then a direct or even
but
a graceful.
But it could be, and I love your, you know, truth bombs that you give.
Oh, I don't know about that always, but.
But it could be tone is involved there.
Right.
In your zest to like, here's the truth. Sometimes that could be softened in delivery.
Yeah, or get
I don't
to
mean
the next
specifically.
Point. No,
I think
absolutely you're right about me that
in
way.
In leadership.
Sure.
Sometimes, because when someone, even our children, when they know that we're really speaking the truth in love and that we have their best interest it at heart, I think it's much easier to receive that than like we could all say, you know, this is wrong. You got to fix this or you're out. You know, instead of saying together, we're going to work on this. Here's a seminar I'm going to send you a link to. And I really think you can get there. I think sometimes it's tone and sometimes it's not.
Well, and remember, and that's a great point, and that's why we mm-hmm. all read communications books, because people like us that are high D, I love it. I wanna hug people that tell me it, but not everybody likes that.
Right.
But I heard an analogy the other day. The truth, if there's truth, it's always going to prick and hurt, not harm. The truth does not harm, but the truth will hurt.
Yeah.
It will also set you free. And somebody said, here's an analogy. I don't like it. Okay. They said it was a pack of dogs. A pack of hyenas are running around. If I throw a rock and I hit one of those hyenas, he's going to what? He's going to yelp. Okay. That's the way truth is. Truth, if it lands, you're going to get a response. And a few people are going to be so ripe to hear your words that they're going to cry and hug you and say thank you. Most people, though, are going to be like, ow. Again, the case for Christ with Lee Strobel.
Yeah.
The more he heard truth from people, the more he got.
Right.
Thus the cliche, the truth hurts.
The truth hurts. It does hurt, but it'll also save your life. So you got to just, like I said, speak the truth, soften it a bit. This is one thing I'm learning at 60. I don't have to. It's more important to be relational than right, but you have to still get the truth in there.
Yeah. Or they won't hear it.
Or they won't hear it. And the other thing is, Annie, somebody could hear the truth and it'll just percolate, because they'll go back the 12 stages of denial. I can't believe she said that to me. Why'd she say that to me? Wait, did I really hear it? Wait, maybe there's some truth.
Yeah.
So these things take time, but no matter what I say, the good thing about being a Christian is God takes every word out of my mouth. And he does with it what he needs to do. So yes, I have a responsibility to be prepared and kind, but I don't worry too much about the outcome. That's on him. I don't soften people's hearts. I don't even motivate anybody.
Exactly.
God does that when that person is ready in the time. So, you know, I don't mean to let us off the hook for trying to evolve to be better communicators, but I don't get too wrapped up about it, because in the end, all I can do is the best I can do and know my heart is
in the
right place.
And I do the best I can do. And I think that just still is, you have this war within yourself that rages, because I don't want to hurt anybody.
Right.
Not for any reason.
Right.
And so it's...
Then you won't. But, right. But somebody can always... Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, yet everybody says he's sending everybody to hell. And Charles would always say that to me. Why do you sit there and you know, I'd be like, well, people think this about me. And he goes, is it anything worse than what Jesus got told? And I'm like, no. Thanks for throwing the Jesus...
Whatever. That's a nice perspective.
Blessed are you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
People are going to say whatever they want about you. Look what they've done. Look what they say about leaders. People they've never known. People are venting on Facebook about this person. I hate him. And I'm like, you don't even know this
person. That's a lens into them. That's the sad, to me, the sad part.
It's tough. It's tough in leadership. And, you know, from the smallest, it's tough to sit on boards and try to make an impact. And especially in the age ranges and cycles you described, our impact, you know, we feel more of a burden to make a difference in the, you know, charitable boards we sit on. And so it's a very good reminder to care less about what people think. And I think I always struggle with that. It doesn't dissuade me from telling the truth, but I probably spend more time worrying about that. More mind share is afforded to than it needs to be.
Don't we? We're so grounded. But there's always that for the listeners. And I hope there is that.
Yeah.
Because the minute you stop caring what people think, maybe you shouldn't be serving people anymore.
Well,
because
amen to that too.
You know, Jesus told the truth, but he also got people's hearts.
Yeah. So what would you, Tracy, tell your younger self as you're on this remarkable journey to 60? And honestly, you look 40.
Thank you. It's dog exfoliation. Dog tongue.
Yes. And still kind of a newlywed.
And marriage. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Of
yes.
course, it's love.
I know. So and what would you go back and tell yourself?
I would tell myself three things. I would tell myself, first of all, know yourself. You know, when I was kind of in my 40s, they started with all the DISC and Myers-Briggs and all that stuff.
Yes.
Do every test you can right now.
Good.
I mean,
and a lot
online.
Of them are free online.
They're free. They're free from your personality, because you need to
know
yourself.
Who you are.
Know who you are, because then you're going to, I mean, I look at the people I admire and I want to be like them, but understand your strengths and your personality.
Exactly.
And when we grew up, it was always work on your weaknesses. You know, that's the old Quaker mentality. Beat it out of you. No, I love the Strength Finders.
Yep.
I love the Myers-Briggs. I love the Standout 2.0, everything.
Work
know
to your talent.
Exactly, because then you'll understand, this is the kind of work I need to do. But more importantly, work is work. Who do I want as a leader, and who do I want on my team as followers?
Right.
Because you can't get it right without the right people.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And when you know more of your own superpower, I think only then can you amplify someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
That's, it's more important to me to know mine, but it's trumped by someone getting to theirs.
Absolutely.
And me helping them do that.
Right. So manage up. The second thing I would tell my younger self is know yourself, manage up. You know, in the world of blasting your boss on TikTok and I showed, it's just, it's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I was the worst. Oh, my boss, what an idiot. Blah, blah, blah. And then and then God put me in leadership and I'm like, oh, brother, you know, thank you. And now I've got people that treat me like, or not anymore, but that did treat me like crap. Manage up. If you want a better boss, be a better follower.
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
You want
good.
Loyalty, but you're not going to give it. Don't talk smack. Would you expect your boss to talk smack about you on Facebook? No. So I would just say, be professional, manage up. I don't care if they're the worst boss ever. This is on you. Always be professional, manage up, and learn to politic well. Because politicking has kind of
you have to help them keep moving up.
Help
That's
them.
All you're
right.
there to do is
right.
be the wind beneath their wings to
exactly.
have everybody just keep moving up.
Right, because you can't ruin your boss without ruining yourself.
Exactly.
It's like when you're crappy to your spouse. Well, you're really just hurting yourself.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, and it has to live in you,
exactly.
which is all toxic.
So I wish I would have gone back and been much kinder to my boss. Find out, how do they communicate? How can I make them look good? Yeah, there was a lot of weird idiosyncrasies and things that irritated me. So what? They never stopped me from doing my job, but I fell on my sword so many times for stupid stuff. So I would tell my younger self, simmer down, Tracy. Yeah. Simmer down.
I love that. I love
simmer
that.
Simmer down. And then third, I would say it is always better in 99 and 44, 100% of the time, unless we're talking about life or death, to be relational rather than right.
Yeah.
And I would not be so, well, it's good. IQ is important, especially as women. We want to know
right.
what we're talking about. But the EQ, the IQ, the spiritual quotient, it's just so much better to be relational because, again, I used to hear the old, people don't care what you know until they know you care. And I'm like, that's crap. You know why I said that? Because intellect is my number one most desired trait
yeah.
in a leader. I don't really care, and I don't care if I don't like you, if I trust you
if
because
I think you're smart.
If I think you're smart, yeah. I'll follow you into battle.
Yeah.
But that's what does it for me. But that's not what does it for most other people. I'm kind of an odd duck. So I have to realize most people will relate more to
yep.
the relational side. Then they'll be dazzled by our brilliance,
yeah.
you know? But in the meantime, if I scare them off by
right,
what I say,
right, right.
or I come off as superior somehow, they're not, you're shut,
they won't
hard,
hear you.
Hard heart.
Yeah.
I don't like Tracy. So
yeah.
that's the other thing I would tell myself is just, you can be right and relational. They're not mutually exclusive.
And that goes into self-awareness too. Understanding, you don't even need a StrengthsFinder test to understand what your own, gifts and talents and downfalls are. So even leading with that or being a good employee, knowing what your own, talents and gifts are is so important.
So I'm going to need to vacate the building because I need to pick up this building. That's how Tracy has made me feel in 30 minutes. And if it's not this one, I'm going across the street to Little Black Dress and lifting that building
Let's
up.
Go.
That's what I feel like I want to do.
You're
I mean,
full of it. Good.
Wow. I mean, this is the best day ever until the next one. I mean, that's the way I feel every single time.
Tracy,
and how fast did that go?
So fast.
Right?
And to our listeners, I'm sorry if I talked really, really fast. Sometimes people like to make it go fast so you don't have to speed it up.
So we're on YouTube and
never
all
enjoy
the
it
streaming
more than
channels.
I did.
So
I
they can stop and they can, go back and listen again. So one of your dad's famous quote, and I've heard it many mm-hmm. times, you're the same today as you will be in 5 years, except for the people you meet and the books you read.
That's it.
And so we're
He'd be so proud of you.
Yes, he
you
would.
Are just
yes, he would.
Such a tour de force. And I thought, no one could hold a candle to him. And then in you walk and it's like instant, just wow.
So I've heard a lot of things that I'm going to work on.
Oh,
and thank you for that. And every
you're
time,
welcome.
If you ever get a chance to hear Tracy speak, any listeners, run, don't walk to sign up, whether it's a businesswoman's forum
mm-hmm.
or it's a leadership or a corporate, speaking gig. Thank you for sharing your love, not only for the Lord and faith, but for leadership and just making us better people.
You're welcome, man.
So you rock, Tracy Jones. Thank you so much for visiting the Grit and Gravitas
deep,
podcast.
Deep gratitude.
I've got to get Annie out of here so she can lift a building or two.
That's it.
Have a high gear day. Thanks for listening. It's our desire that these stories will bring energy, ideas, and fresh thinking that you can use today. Subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Instagram and have a high gear day.